T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 929 The Game, 929TheGame.com. Sam and Jarvis sitting in for John Chuckery on this Monday night. So glad that you're with us wherever you are around our listening area. And glad you're spending the last part of your holiday Monday with us. Some of you might be going back to work tomorrow. Some of you might be going back to work at your old workplace. But if you're like us, you're working from home. That's whatever here in the virtual Kia Studios. Just so glad that you're with us and we're providing you with a little sense of normalcy until we get adjusted to this new normal that's happening with us. Jarvis, we talked a lot about the match last time. We talked a little NFL. Time to talk some college football. And we know there are great expectations around the SEC once again. We got someone we want to bring into joining the show for the first time with us on the WaitForIt.com hotline from Saturday Down South. Chris Marler joins us. Chris, good morning. I'm used to be around in the morning. Good evening to you. Welcome to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Good evening, man. I appreciate y'all having me on. Yeah, I feel like that's fine. Do not know what time of day, what actual day it is. All that's fine in quarantine, so we're good.
How have you been doing? How you doing? How you and your family, how you guys been staying? Say, what's it been like?
We're doing pretty well. So I know we don't know each other that well, but the only downside of all this from us, like we've enjoyed being here. Me and my fiance and our dog, we've had a great time in quarantine. The only downside is we had a wedding that was scheduled for April 24th, and we had to postpone it because of this. And so that's been the one downside. It's a pretty big downside, but everything else is going well. And now that we're potentially getting college football back, all is good.
Yeah, so Chris,
and that's the Jarvis thing, Jarvis. Here, man, and go ahead, Jarvis. Go ahead,
Chris. I just wanted to say, man. Like, obviously, I was just I had checked out your SEC East preview, and obviously Georgia is a big favorite. But who is the team that you see possibly sneaking up on a team like Georgia, being that they're such a heavy favorite?
A lot of people are really high on Florida, and I understand why. I think there's a lot of expectations down in Gainesville, especially with what Dan Mullen will do in his first 2 years. Tennessee is another one. I don't know if either of those teams are at Georgia's level that Georgia's at right now. I just don't. And I think that, I understand they lose a lot. They lose a lot on paper. They lose, almost that entire offense, and I think they only return two starters, but that defense is going to be, I think, in my opinion, the best defense we've seen in college football since maybe 2011, and they led the country last year. So, to kind of cop out on the question, I don't know if anybody is able to do it.
Well, so with that being said, do you think that there is, can Kirby Smart be the only thing that could hold them back from winning the SEC East?
That's a good question. There's a lot of, if there's one thing you want to say about Kirby that's maybe negative, it's that his in-game coaching has not always been great. And, Georgia fans don't need me to remind them of that. That fake punt in the SEC Championship game is still questionable, still very, very questionable. So, yeah, he could be the only thing. But I'll say this, too. The Jamie Newman hype is, I think, somewhat deserved. He's a very good quarterback. But it's somebody we also haven't seen perform in this conference. And I personally think he's going to do very well. Pro Football Focus has him as the number three returning quarterback in the country. And that's only behind Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence. So I don't think you could put it all on Kirby per se. He definitely has a new coordinator coming in. I will say this. If they get into a tight moment in one of those games against Alabama or Florida, especially one of those games that's away from Athens, and he does something similar to what we saw in the first couple of seasons that he had as a head coach, where he did have some blunders and mishaps late in games, where he kind of just overthought it, I think he would be the guy to blame. I don't think by any means he's on the hot seat, but then you have to start questioning that in-game coaching, if that's what's really holding you back, because nothing else has been able to hold him back. The recruiting is fantastic. They've been in the top five, it seems like, every single year. So, yeah, it would fall on Kirby.
Spending time on the waitforit.com hotline with Chris Marler from Saturday Down South. He is social. You can follow him on Twitter at Vern Funquist. That is Vern Funquist and the F-U-N are all cap letters. You got to let me in on this Twitter handle, man. Where'd you get that from?
So it was between that and Claw Feinbaum after White Claws, and I think it was probably a better move to go with Vern Funquist. The only downside of it is that I'm not getting younger by any means. I'm 34. Vern's a lot older than me, and it doesn't matter how many times I go on radio, especially in Arkansas for some reason. Right afterwards, we'll get a lot of hate in my mentions on Twitter about how much they dislike Vern on the CBS games. And I was like, I mean, first off, that's just rude because he was fantastic in those CBS games. Second off, Vern Funquist is not the real Vern Lundquist. So that's the only downside of it. But I do enjoy it.
He is talking SEC. We talked about Georgia and what you think they would do on the east side. What about from the west now? We figured this is a retool season for LSU. A lot of people are looking at Alabama and figure they are all clear in the driver's seat. And maybe so, but when is this Texas A&M team that's going to be so competitive show up? We heard last year they were supposed to be that, and it didn't happen. So does Texas A&M show up this year?
I am very high on the Texas A&M bandwagon, to be honest. I think you talk about year three of Jimbo at A&M. What can he do there? They have 16 returning starters, and that's according to 24/7 Sports. I think in some places I've heard they have 18 or 19. I don't know. Regardless, that's a lot of starters coming back. A very experienced team that definitely underperformed and was underwhelming at times in the past few seasons. However, when you talk about what Jimbo's been able to do with his quarterbacks at different stops, Kellen Mond being a senior, he's the only quarterback in the SEC that's had 2 years of starting experience. And people always like to say that he hasn't performed that well in those games. So that schedule, it's a lot easier this year. Like, you don't have games at Clemson on this year's schedule. They do have to play Bama and LSU in their last two games of the season, but I could easily see A&M getting out to a 10-0 start. The rest of the West, I don't understand the hype around Auburn, to be honest. I think Bo Nix will definitely improve in year two, but that defense is gutted on the defensive line and especially the defensive backs. Kevin Steele's a great coordinator, but I don't think they have enough young talent at those two positions to really, I think, compete the way they did last year. And also, I think LSU, we all know what they lost the draft. I don't think that matters this year. When you talk about an Alabama team that is, I know that the dynasty's always ending and, you have to wonder if Saban, on his way out, blah, 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 blah. What people don't talk about enough of last year's season with Alabama is the fact that by the end of the season, that defense was missing six starters from the beginning of the season. Two of them were linebackers that would have played alpha roles. Instead, they were played by true freshmen that seemed lost at times all season. That defense is going to be back. They're going to be healthy. They did lose Tua. They lost two first-round receivers, but they get two more first-round receivers for next year's draft. And maybe the best running back combination in the SEC with Najee Harris and Trey Sanders. I think it's Bama. And if they have a chip on their shoulder, I mean, I think the rest of the league should probably watch out.
Chris Marler Jones is on the wayforward.com hotline. Chris, staying in the SEC West, how does LSU replace Joe Burrow?
Clone him, I guess. I have no idea how to even answer that. That's a player that it's not just the fact that Joe Burrow had the single greatest season in college football history for a quarterback statistically. What he meant to that program and what they were able to catch with him and the combination of Joe Brady, you can't really put that into there's just words don't even describe, I think, how big of a deal that is, because there's no other position, I think, maybe even in the SEC, maybe the entire country, that was as underwhelming as the LSU quarterback position. And that's those LSU quarterbacks since 2012 ranked last or second to last in the entire SEC in touchdown passes thrown every single year until 2018. And Joe Burrow came in, and, you know, I don't think Miles Brennan is going to be a bad quarterback, but to think that Miles Brennan is going to be able to replace even slightly what Joe Burrow is able to bring to the table as a leader, from an accuracy standpoint, from a talent standpoint, that's really asking a lot from a kid that has been in the program for a couple of years, but has not had to start yet and face SEC defenses and have the target on their back. Like LSU, they're not really familiar with this in the last decade or so of being the guy, the king of the hill, and having the target on their back. I will say the bigger issue besides Burrow is Joe Brady being gone and what he was able to do as offensive or co-offensive coordinator. I don't know if they'll ever be able to replace that.
Spending time on the waitforit.com hotline with Chris Marler from Saturday Down South. My goodness, he does a number of things for them. He's the co-host of the SDS pod. Also, he does some stand-up, as well as keeping an eye on things around the SEC. And for this holiday, he is a connoisseur of hot dog. I understand you have a recipe or two for us.
We just grilled out hot dogs.
What'd you do on the grill today?
No reason to listen. I don't really have a recipe. I don't have a recipe for hot dogs.
Oh, come on, man. Well, make up one. You're on live radio. You're on live radio. Make up one.
All right, let me see here. First off, you gotta grill the bun. That's a key ingredient. If you have a cold bun and a hot dog, it's already not a great meal. A lot of times you're eating a hot dog. It's not at a baseball game. If you're eating a hot dog not in a stadium, you got some questions you want to answer about your life because things might not be going great. So get yourself a hot bun and a hot dog, ketchup and mustard. Relish might be a little bit too much. I'm not with sauerkraut. That's not for me. That's my recipe.
Chris, are you using butter?
Okay. Okay.
For the bun. Are you using butter for the bun?
I'm not, but that's only because it's, you know, this quarantine has not been easy on my waistline, and I got to cut. I got to cut before media day. That's the reason I'm not using butter. I've been using butter on ice cream lately. That's where things have been.
Oh,
I brushed my teeth laying down last week. That's what quarantine's been for me. So.
Wow.
Oh, that's where it got too much.
Wow. Whoa.
In hindsight, I wish I didn't share that with you guys. That was awkward for the first time talking.
That's not bad. That's bad at all. We'll be watching for you at media days now.
I appreciate that.
How have you been watching things now? As we look to see, obviously the NCAA has given a green light for players to go back. You feel like we're going to get a full season in, Chris? Do you feel like things will start on time? And where do you think you will be on game days? Will folks like us even be at the games?
That's a good question, too. I think we're going to have a season. I think it's too important for these universities. First off, the NCAA, I was shocked they canceled March Madness, because if there's anything they love at the NCAA head offices outside of disciplining kids and programs for accepting $50 under the table, it's making money. And the fact that they didn't do March Madness was shocking to me. There's no way they go a full calendar year without football and March Madness. And I think more than anything, I think you've seen the conferences and some of these, you know, individual institutions kind of take up things in their own arms or their own hands and say, we're going to have a season. Like, if the Pac-12 wants to go out and play home and home, like, you know, inside their own conference in February, that's fine. They haven't been in the playoff in 5 years anyway. If Michigan, the president came out this week and said, if, you know, not all students are back, then football won't be back, that's fine. They're not really going to be a part of the playoff picture anyway as well. So the SEC is going to have football. And I hate to sound like that kind of homer for the conference, but I think you've seen stuff where, you know, Florida reopening, Georgia reopening, and to be honest, I thought it might have been too early. I was a little bit surprised that, you know, the governor camp opened up so early. But in hindsight, I believe it might have been the right thing. And we've seen the numbers kind of decline. And if that continues, then by all means, let's have football. Let's just do it safely. And, you know, like I've missed weddings. I've missed birthdays. I've missed a lot to go to college football games. I can tell you I will be there for sure. If I have to wear a mask, that's fine. If they have to implement that, it might be tough to implement. But, if the deal is like, hey, we're going to have Georgia-Bama in Tuscaloosa on September 19th. The only way you're getting in is if you have a mask on. And if you don't keep your mask on, you'll be asked to leave. I guarantee you, no matter what kind of bitching and moaning people have on social media or beforehand, that mask will be in front of their face for four quarters so they can watch those games.
And I promise you something else. Alabama is going to have some at the gate to sell for people to wear into the game, and they're going to turn a tidy profit. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Chris, look, man, I hope you're at the game, and I hope I'm there as well for some of the games as well. We'll see what happens, what's going to be allowed. That's all in the future. We all know we love college football, and we look forward for it happening this spring. We thank you for coming on the show with us here and giving up a little bit of your holiday Monday to share with us.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. I enjoyed it. I apologize about sharing that information about brushing my teeth. What will happen next time? I hope to talk to you guys soon.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, man.
It's all good, man.
Thank you a lot. That is Chris.
Y'all have a good one, guys.
It is. All good, man. We got nothing but love for you, man. This is Chris Marler from Saturday Down South talking some SEC football with us. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk more about football and a player who says players shouldn't get paid because it'll be bad for them. And wait till you find out which player said this, too. Oh, that's Lord. Coming up as we continue. Sam and Jarvis. Yeah, right. Sam and Jarvis on this holiday Monday night here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Available to all of you through the radio.com app on your smartphones and all of your smart devices and smart speakers.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.